God, you are my strength and my rock. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are mighty. Sing with me, God, you are my strength. God, you are my strength and my rock.
Yes, Lord, you are our fortress, you are our defense, you are our help. Where would we be if it weren't for the fact that you are all of that to us? The enemy would have picked us out at will. For without you, we cannot match the enemy. but it's through your grace and under the awesome authority of your word, in the capacity that which you did on the cross and in your resurrection and ascension, in the very fact that we are seated with you in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, that we're positioned in a place higher than the enemy, that it's like, oh God, shooting at the fish in a bowl. There's no way for the enemy to escape. All because of your grace, our fortress, our defense, our help, our rock, our redeemer, our deliverer, our healer, our provider. You are all these things to us. Whatever it is that we need in our lives, that's who you are. The great I am that I am. And so there's no limit, O God, to that which you will do for us. And we thank you. Thank you for the awesome grace, mercy, loving kindness that proceeded from you to us to give us access to you. We thank you for this gift of access. Thank you, Lord, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Father, your love is all-encompassing, and we thank you for it today. We celebrate your goodness, and we say, Lord, speedify, bring to manifestation by your word everything that you have promised. For God, you will not lie. You cannot lie. And we refuse to accept anything. We refuse to align ourselves with that which will cause any kind of delay. Bring us in total connection with all that you have for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Paralambano. Yes, Lord, paralambano. Make us one in you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you here tonight. Tonight I want to share with us from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9. This is a very powerful passage of Scripture, because in this passage of Scripture, the Lord revealed himself. In this passage of Scripture, we get to hear about that which was going to be. The Lord makes a statement here. In the first verse, it says, he said unto them, verily I say unto you. As a matter of fact, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. It's a remarkable statement. Someday we will explore that statement a little bit deeper. But having made that statement, the Word of God says, and after 6 days, the implication here is that it's either on the sixth day or after the sixth day will be the seventh day. The sixth day is the day that God wrapped up the work of creation or recreation. The sixth day is the day that he created man. The seventh day is the day that God rested from all of his labors. In essence, God said, it is finished. So this is a remarkable statement. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him. It is a very interesting word, paralambano. And paralambano means that he made association with, he became one with. He enjoined himself with. And in essence, he takes them by being part of them and them being part of him. He takes them. You see, when God wants to take you somewhere, he takes you with him and in him. Because it is in him that you really live fulfilled. He taketh with him Peter and James and John. Who are these three amigos? Peter, James, and John. Luke 5 tells us that they were partners. In Luke 5, it uses two words for partners. One word is the word metokos. Metokos is the word that signified that they were involved with each other, but not for the interests of each other, but in relationship with each other for each other's personal benefit. Let me put it this way. Metokos is like working with other people, but not really in it for them, but for you. Whatever it is you can get from the relationship. But then it talks about Peter, James, and John, that they were partners, but it uses a different word. The word is koinonia. Koinonia means that they were in fellowship together and they were engaged to each other and that they were seeking each other's interest. That is a better relationship. Because when Jesus in Luke 5 calls Peter to come, that he was going to make him fishers of men, James and John, that he did not call, said, if you take in our friend, we're coming. You cannot separate us. We are together. We cannot be separated. And so the Bible keeps on saying, each time it's talking about Peter, it says, Peter, James, and John. So when Jesus was going to give this experience in this high mountain, the three amigos had to be together. You can't separate us. As a church, we're supposed to be like that. Together, standing together through thick and thin, no matter what, we stand together. One of the key things in this last of the last days, and you've heard me say this again and again, is that in this last of the last days, one of the things that we need to concern ourselves with is being people of discernment. And this morning, I talked to from the Word of God about the Good Samaritan. And one of the key things that we try to nail down is this, that it's not our place to be so judgmental that we separate people and leave people stuck in a place, but rather that when we see a problem, that we be there to bring about restoration and bring about healing. The one thing that we have to be careful about in this last of the last days is the attack of the enemy. The attack of the enemy to cause disrepute amongst ourselves. If there's one thing the enemy will want to do, is to discredit men and women of God. Bring about accusation, because the devil, how many of you remember the Word of God says he's the accuser of the brethren? Yeah? Now, when we come to this place where we are one together, it doesn't matter whatever it is that you're accusing him of or her of, I am going to come and I'm going to stand guard around him and make sure that he does not go down, because this soldier is going to stand up and fight again. That's what we do. Nobody left behind. Nobody. So he did this and he did that. Okay, he did it. But there is a God who forgives every sin, cleanses from all unrighteousness, and this is my brother. Once upon a time, he asked Jesus into his heart and said, Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my soul, and I'm going to stand with him. I'm going to bring, if I have to drag him, I'm going to drag him. The ambulance is meant for something. Hallelujah. It's not about us beating each other down. No, no. That's what the devil would like to do, especially in this day of AI. They are going to place people doing things that they had nothing to do with. And if you are one of those who are ready to shoot at your brother when he's down, kick him when he's down, you're going to join the devil's gang and kill your own brother. I read a story not too long ago about a family that brought in a stray dog, and they brought healing to this dog and cared for it. And one day they went out, and when they came back home, they saw blood all over the place. And they assumed the dog had killed their little baby. When they came by their young child, the child had blood all over it. So they went after the dog, because the dog was bloody. So they hammered at that dog and killed the dog, only to find out after they killed that dog that that dog was busy protecting their child, because a snake or something, some wild creature, had come into the house to destroy that child, and this dog was a protector. They judged. They assumed and killed the dog that was doing the right thing, because they attached it to its past life. That is not our calling. That is not how we treat people as a people of God. People are flawed. They have issues. But it's our responsibility to bring restoration and healing to them. Anyhow, we're wondering that from where it's every from. No, it's the same thing, Paralambano. Take it, them. It says, and leadeth them. He takes them and he leads them. Leadership is key. He lifts them up into an high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. He revealed his real self to them. He was transfigured. There's a change. The Bible tells us that this transformation was so rich that his raiment became shining. The glory within him caused his raiment to begin to glister, to shine in, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. He was transfigured. Metamorpho, the same word for metamorphosis, changed. Changed from one dimension or one level of reality to another, right before them. And when that transfiguration took place, the Bible says, there appeared unto them, all of them there, Elias, which is Elijah, with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus in this higher dimension. Remember, he said, there are some that are standing here that shall not see death until they behold the glory of God. They see something greater. And here he was revealing that greater to them. They were there with him. And the Bible says, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Of course. You're having the front seat experience. And then he says, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. You know what that means? We would have had three religions right there. The house of Moses, the house of Elijah, the house of Jesus. And right there, God broke into the scene and he spoke out. The Bible tells us Peter was saying nonsense. He didn't know what he was talking about, and the reason was because he was afraid. You know, he's so scared and he just started blotting out whatever it is he can blot out. And so many times that's where we are. Things happen and we just start speaking all kinds of craziness. That was Peter for you. But the Bible says, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. This morning in Psalm 68, the Word of God talks about this cloud, which is the strength, the power of God. In the Old Testament, we see the pillar of cloud leading, the pillar of fire leading. The cloud during the day and the fire at night. He says, this cloud came and overshadowed them, and out of that cloud, a voice came out. And the voice said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. He is not Elijah. And he's not Moses. This is Jesus. Hear him. It is what Jesus says that matters. Today, we listen to all kinds of voices. People who cannot even tie their shoes, don't know where their next meal is coming from, we listen to them. Because they have some letter in front of their name. Dr. So-and-so, President So-and-so, Senator So-and-so, MP So-and-so, MLA So-and-so, Judge So-and-so. We listen to all kinds of stuff, psychologists. That same psychologist, if he has a problem, has to go meet another psychologist to treat him. We have people, you know, it's interesting. We live in a world where people find solutions that create bigger problems for them. You just need to listen to the news sometimes or commercials. You know, you can't sleep. Well, we've got this med for you. If you give you this med, you're going to go to sleep, but you're going to have kidney problems. You're going to be walking crooked. all kinds of stuff. That's the world we live in. You want to solve one problem, you create more problems. All your hair is going to fall off, and you're going to be walking around blind. Well, I will stay awake. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that's where we are. So God says, no, listen, it's not Moses. It's not Elijah. They're good. I work with them. But Jesus is the way. Amen? Jesus is the way. If he said that about Moses and he said that about Elijah, he's saying that about Buddha. He's saying that about Confucius. He's saying that about Mao. He's saying that about Muhammad and all of them put together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You don't know how many times, if I had the power to get rid of that last part of it, I would have gotten rid of it just to be safe. If you just said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, hallelujah, Jesus is the way, truth, and the life, amen. But he said, no one comes to the Father except by me. That disqualifies everybody else. That excludes everybody else. And right here at the mountain, the Father himself said, no, it's not Moses. No, it's not Elijah. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased in him. And if you want me to be pleased with you, you better join this train. This is the one. Every other train is going halfway or quarter way. This is the only one that comes right home. That's it. And anybody who gets upset with that, I'm sorry you're getting upset about it, but guess what? If he's right, your goose is cooked if you're not riding this train. Eternity is too long to be in the wrong place. You definitely don't want to be at HE double hockey sticks. That's not where you want to go. And in fact, that's not where it all ends. The Bible says it ends up in the lake of fire. Even hell Satan and all his courts are thrown into the lake of fire. I don't want to be where the devil is. Do you? You know, anybody who thinks they're going to have fun with the devil, they're seriously mistaken. Because that rascal, having lost, is going to batter anything and anyone around him. Bible says, and suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore. They looked round about. They were looking. Where's Moses? Where's Elijah? Where are the prophets? Nobody. Nobody. They saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. They saw Jesus and they saw themselves. That's a remarkable thing, because Paralambano, he had made himself one with them and they one with him. And guess what? We are one in Christ Jesus. He is our head and we are his body. And this is the idea, that behold Jesus. And when people behold Jesus, they also see you and see me as a manifestation of his glory. Yeah. That's a remarkable thing. How is that going to happen? By the change. Metamorpho. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We're becoming one with him. We are his body. We're no different. He has created us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. We talked about that this morning, Ephesians 4 and 24. It tells us that this transformation took place. It says, therefore you should put on the new man, which after God, in the likeness of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says, take off that old man. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Actually, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. It says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. And if we're to complete that sentence, it would read, know we him no more after the flesh. So the reality is this. As God takes us up this high mountain, he doesn't want you and I to even look at him on the basis of what he did in the flesh. Because as long as we look at him only on the basis of that, the results we will produce will be only that. But John 14, I believe verse 12 says, it says we are going to do greater works because he's gone to be with the Father. He's gone to the higher place and he wants to take us He wants to take us with him to this higher place. Hallelujah. That's where he wants to take you. That's where he wants to take me. Paralambano. In association with him. Why does he want to do greater works with us? Because he's going to be with the Father. But where are we with him? The Bible says Jesus is seated with the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of authority. And where are we? We are in him. When he died, we died. He says, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God. The God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I am seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. By whom? The Father. And he says, from this higher level of transfiguration, of transformation, you're going to do greater things, because they saw no man anymore but Jesus and themselves, the ones that he took up and led up. The people that are going to make the greatest changes in this last of the last days are people who see themselves in Christ and stop thinking about themselves as just mere humans. You're not a mere human being anymore. In fact, you are not of the Adamic race. When you got born again, you were born again as a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We no longer see him after the flesh. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature, a new species that did not exist before. That's that word, new creature. A creature and a being that never existed before. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. Why? You have the nature of God. The true nature of God. And now you are equipped with the capacity of God to operate from the heavenlies. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They became new. They are become new. All things, all things, all things. Not some things, all things. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do we accomplish that? By faith. By believing that God is doing this in me. Remember Mark 9 again, he separated them, he took them apart from the rest. And he was transfigured before them so that they could see him and experience the same transfiguration. John talks about beholding him as the Son of God. God revealing himself to them. Anyhow, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Don't start bringing other people into this thing. This is the real deal. And that's what I want you to connect to. And so that was one level up in a mountain. This morning we talked about staying in Jerusalem, not going down to Jericho. No matter what, stay in the higher level. See what happens in the lower levels. Miracles still happen, but see what happens. He says, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. So he's telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again from the dead. Did they believe it? If they believed it, why were they all flustered by the events and the happenings that took place at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why were they so mesmerized by everything? God was seeing beyond their failures. He knew that they were all going to deny him. He knew it. They could only handle so much before they caved. But he saw past their failure and saw the day when they were going to take this word and proclaim it. Look at the scripture we're reading from. It's by Mark. It says, and they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. What else could it mean when he said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again? What does that mean? And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? You just saw him. Didn't you just see him? Okay, let me help you some more. He answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. The purpose of Elias is to bring about restoration. And in this last of the last days, until Jesus comes, that same spirit of Elijah is going to be manifest in the earth again. You say, how? Because it's going to bring about the restoration of fathers and sons together, the book of Malachi tells us. God is going to bring restoration. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that Jesus is not going to come back until the restoration of all things. And he's going to come. But the world is still confused. And so it is with the church. But the church of Jesus Christ is going to rise up, because the church, the real church of Jesus Christ, is not going to be intimidated by anybody, by governments, by death, by imprisonment, by anything. We are not the people that will fold like a deck of cards. We are a people who believe that God is God and we belong to him, and that his power overwhelms and supersedes every other power, and that in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Hallelujah. Amen. You are stronger than you think. You and I are going to do great things. Hallelujah. God did not keep Daniel from the lion's den. Nor did he keep Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He kept them in it. And there was no smell of smoke on them, and the lions had locked jaw. I don't know if God injected them with tetanus or something. They could not function. Hungry as they were, they could not touch Daniel. You see, they may put you and I in prison, but the impact of prison shall have no effect, because while we are there, hallelujah, we'll be winning souls unto the Lord. Come on. Afraid of what? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ says? He says, don't be afraid of man and what man is going to do. See, if you really want to be afraid of the God who can toss people into hell. I'm not going to be afraid of man. What is man going to do to me? You know, one of the things I believe that we as God's people need to do is to decouple ourselves from the things of this world. I'm not saying don't have things. Have as much things as you want, but see them as just things. I have it? Great. But that does not define me. I don't have it? Doesn't matter. No matter what, Paul says, I've learned how to be content with much or with little. That's it. I'm not going to be a happier Christian driving a limo, a Volkswagen. Volkswagen, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a rust bucket, basket or a plush shining whatever, it's still stuff. So I don't have a limo, I have the bus. It takes more people. Come on, excuse me. Stuff won't define you. I remember once upon a time, I didn't have a car. All that I had was a church van, big 12-seater. I drove that thing all over this town and out of this country. You think I was concerned? Oh, look at me. That didn't define me. You know, I see some kids, you know, walking around with jeans that have holes all over them. they're poor, but you know, they paid lots of money for that stuff. Maybe one of these days I'll wear one of those. That would drive some people crazy. Say, what is this old grandpa? Ah, Jesus is Lord. No, it's not about things. You have it, you have it. You don't have it, it doesn't matter. But if you are attached to things, I tell you what, the enemy has you. Because you will sell your soul just to be comfortable with the things of this world. But the Bible says Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, they did not concern themselves about the diet system of Babylon, the king's table. We don't care about that. Give us some porridge. You got to have no. Give us a porridge. And they ate their porridge and looked better than the people that were busy eating all the filet mignon. God can turn your water and your bread to amazing things. After all, he took care of millions of people with manna and quail, and there was not one weak nor feeble person in their midst. We've got to separate ourselves from putting things in a primary place. It says Elijah is going to come and he's going to restore all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. He said, that's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to suffer many things and I'm going to be reduced to nothing. However, that's not the end of the story. He says, but I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. Elijah came, and he did whatever it is that they did to him. Who was this Elijah? He tells us in another passage of Scripture that Elias, the spirit of Elias that came back, not a reincarnation, but the same kind of spirit was in John the Baptist. So that spirit came, and they beheaded him. He says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What are you messing around with my disciples for? He says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Jesus taketh and leadeth up the mountain. The enemy comes, takes, and rips apart. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away, starts fainting. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. He was addressing the man. The man brought, watch this, he brought his son to the disciples, but he was not believing because he did not see Jesus. He didn't believe. That was a problem. People come to church, and if they don't see the pastor, the prayer is not going to work. Really. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And God will use any part of his body to accomplish whatever it is he wants to accomplish. There's still the honor that God has placed upon that man or woman that he placed over that congregation. But that does not disempower everybody else. We all walk under the lordship of Jesus Christ to do the works of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say, these signs shall follow the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the prophet, the apostle. No, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. They'll bring healing to the sick. They will cast out demons. They will raise the dead in my name. This is not a no-name deal. Where we are is going to confuse the enemy. I remember many years ago, right here, we were having a prayer conference. I believe it was the last day. I came in and the Lord says, today I'm going to be playing football. I'm going to be quarterback. I said, huh? What does that mean? He said, I'm going to be the quarterback. You have all these special guest speakers here. I brought them here. But I'm the quarterback. I'm going to throw the ball to whoever I choose. So we're in the service, and all of a sudden, the Lord throws the ball to my daughter, Ashley. And I remember her walking down this aisle here and laying hands on people, and people were flying all over the place. People were, first of all, skeptical. What's going on? Why aren't the pastors the special speakers? No, it was Ashley. He threw the ball to Ashley, and Ashley was laying hands, and power was blasting through this place better than anything that you can imagine. The power of God was just flowing. And the rest of us, so-called big names, the big... we were watching God. Ah! What is going on? People started running. They didn't run to... Oh, Bishop. They didn't. Who knew Bishop? Nobody knew Bishop anymore. They were running to Ashley. They weren't running to the guest speakers. Oh, come lay hands on me. No. Ashley. Who gave her that authority? God. God did it. And people were getting healed. And everybody was watching. We were just watching. Watching God move. Healing the sick. Delivering people. God, just like he said to me, I'm going to be quarterback. I hear the Lord saying the same thing again. He is going to toss the ball to whoever it is he wants to, and the devil will not know who's going to catch the ball and who's going to make run and spike the ball at the end zone. All he knows is Jesus is here, and he thinks he's going to throw it this way, but he is such a master marksman. He's facing this way and goes like that. Everybody's running this way, and the ball goes over that way, and all the... Touchdown! That's it. Finished. God is going to use who he chooses to use. And the needs of the people shall be met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus is, oh, faithless generation. He answered him. Him. Oh, faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, I thank God that he sees us. The Bible says straightway the Spirit tore him and fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. This is what happens in the lower levels. The enemy still thinks he has authority and still thinks he can function. And the Bible says, watch this. After he throws this kid down and the kid is being torn apart and is rolling on the floor, wallowing, the Bible says in verse 21, it says, Jesus watched the situation and asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou, what? Canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe, all things are possible to the believer. I need you to engage your faith. I love this man because his response is this. It says, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe. But if there's any aspect of me that has any piece of doubt attached to it, help me. And that's all we need to do. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It's like when the Lord came to me and told me, I'm believing somebody to believe me, not I'm looking for somebody to believe me not to die. Just like he said at the very part, first part of this passage, there's some that are not going to die until they see the glory of God. I said, after talking to the Lord for a while, I said, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief, because this one is a tough one. I believe you not to die? Yeah. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe me, you shall not die. Death came because of sin. I have solved the problem of sin. You don't need to die anymore like little rats and chicken. You can live long until you're fully satisfied. Wow. You know, John, the apostle, they tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. They did every possible thing to kill that man. Instead, he was busy seeing visions of the end times. Couldn't kill him. Threw him in boiling oil. Didn't matter. John only left because I would have left too, you know, seeing all this nonsense that's happening in the world. Beam me out, Lord. Beam me out. Just get me out of this mess. Help thou my unbelief. And this is what the Lord did. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. He was not about show business. This is not about show business. Come, come, everybody come, come, come. Let me show you what I can do. No, no. Before they knew, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And of course, the spirit left right away, right? But watch this. 26. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Looks like he was going backwards. At least when he came first, he was still alive. But now, it looks like he's dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead, he is dead. You killed him, Jesus. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The devil doesn't have the final word. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. What Jesus does is the last statement. And he will do it for every one of us. It doesn't matter who wrote you off and said you will never accomplish so and so. And what do they know? What do they know? When God can step into a life and turn it around. Oh, I was born this way. I'm gay. I was born this way. I'm a lesbian. I was born this way. I'm transgender. What do they know? God can touch a life and turn the life around and remove the confusion. Amen? Oh, I was born with this cancer. God can change this situation. I came from a broken home. God can change this situation. Everyone in my family have been druggists, drug addicts, alcoholics. God can change this situation. Nobody in my family has gone through marital life and stayed in their marriage. After 2 years, the marriage falls apart. God can change this situation. No one in my family has been at a university. Thank God. Some of these universities now, they'll just screw your head up. But thank God for this. God can change his situation. He has a final word. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to give it a break, or else I'm going to keep on talking. God is good. Amen. Rise with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we ask that you help us. Take us. Lead us up this mountain. Reveal yourself to us and help us grow up. Let your anointing destroy every yoke and remove every burden. May we as your people enjoy the fruitfulness of your goodness this day. Save and deliver us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We recognize you as our Lord and our Savior. And we cry out to you and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Hallelujah. All heads still bowed. Is there anyone here today? You say, you know, Pastor, I've heard the word of God today. I don't know what to do or make of all of it. But I really would like to give my life to God. I'd like to surrender my life to God. Pastor, I have believed, but I'm not walking in faith like I should. I want that to change from this very moment. I want to know and experience that which the Word of God says makes me a new creation, and all things are passed away and all things are become new. I want to be reconciled to God. Maybe you're here this evening and that's something you want to do. If that's you, just raise your right hand and I will pray with you and trust God to restore you in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies. Is there anyone like that? Praise the Lord. Bless you. Bless you. Now, I want you to join me. Anyone else? Okay. I want you to join me. Let's repeat these words after me. Say, Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. I ask you, O God, to touch me and turn my life around. This day, I surrender my life to you. Make me a new creation. Infuse me with your power and cause me to live life anew, a new creation. The past is gone and a new day has begun for me. Jesus Christ, come into my heart and save me. Make me your disciple. Use my life to change other lives. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Well, congratulations, my brother, for a new beginning. And I celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Pastor Paul, do we have the book, what's the book called? One of my books out there. It's about new life. I'm going to give you a book today that you can read. And I celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. Let's celebrate this young man. Hallelujah. His first time here. But this is your first time? Oh, you did? Okay. Awesome. So glad to have you. I'll talk to you some more after that. But for those of you on YouTube and Facebook and Reddit and I don't know what other platforms that you may be listening from, we're going to cut off from you at this time, but we celebrate the goodness of God in your life. And we encourage you to join us this Wednesday for our Bible study. We're going through the book of Proverbs, and if you've not joined and listened to the teachings on the book of Proverbs until now, it's all archived in our website, and you can download an app, the Glory and Peace app. Just go to the App Store and you'll find a whole bunch of messages there. Just stick it in, receive it, and let your life be empowered by the Word of God. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday and Friday for prayer meeting. And of course, next Sunday, morning and evening, we'll be here with you, experiencing the God life together. God bless you. Good night.